Good morning, Discovery, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship live stream. My name is Jesse, your Tacoma Campus Lead. I am so excited that you're joining us. We're going to have a great time together. We're continuing today in our Chrysalis series, where we're talking about the hard places and how through those hard and rocky times, God can actually form us and shape us and transform us into something new. We have Pastor Antonio joining us today, and he's going to be teaching out of Genesis chapter 26, if you have your Bible, so please get those ready. If this is maybe your first time joining us today on the live stream, I'd love to give you some tips on how to interact with us. If you're watching, then you can drop a like, a comment. If you haven't been joining us in our devotional series, we would love you to do that. And you can text prayer or text devotion into our text to prayer line to get connected with that. And if you're on the website, please, you can fill out the connection card. Speaking of connections, I want to introduce two people to you today that are going to be great at helping connect us as a church.
Hey everyone, my name is Jason Curry. I am Discovery's new communications lead. Do not be fooled by this sweater. I am currently wearing pajama pants. That is the reality of my life. My family and I have been attending Discovery for 4.5 years. And I'm just so excited to be stepping into this role as a way to engage with our church community more and just hear how you all are really doing and how you're really living and how best that we can all come together as a community, whether that's online or face-to-face, hopefully soon. Thanks.
Hey, Discovery. My name's Maggie Fredericks, and I am your new communications intern. I get to work alongside Jason Curry, who's your new communications lead, and we've been having so much fun. But I just wanted to introduce myself. If you don't know me, I have been around Discovery since I was maybe 2 years old. My dad is actually the pastor here, but I am just so grateful to be a part of things in a new way. So I will be around more, kind of. I'm going to be online. I'm in Ellensburg currently going to school, but I will be on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and on the website and behind the scenes. And I'm just very excited to communicate with all of you in a new way and get to know about more of what's going on with Discovery. So hi, and thank you so much for having me, and I'm just so excited for what's to come.
Thanks, Jason and Maggie. I want to invite you today to stick around after our message time. We have a very special announcement about one of our campuses, and I'd like if you could join with me right now to pray for our worship time together. Jesus, we thank you for this time together as a family. We pray that although we might be separated by space, God, that we can come together this morning to worship with you. I pray that today we would learn, we would grow, we would have open hearts and open minds to learn today from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Who am I that the highest king would but he brought me in, oh, his love for me, oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I free at last, he has ransomed me.
Hello, Discovery Church. It's Antonio McLemore, and I'm so honored to be here with you wherever you're watching, whether you're at home, and I'm excited to be in your home or to be in your car, wherever you are listening to this message. I'm so excited that you're here. We're in the third part of a four-part series, and today we're going to be talking about the sins of our fathers. And talking not about generational curses, but talking about the realities that we face as you and I inherit the decisions of those that have gone before us. And so if you have your Bibles with you, I'm sort of going to set the stage, or what I like to say is bring the text into context, right? Bringing the text into context. And so we're going to be reading from Genesis 26. We're going to be reading a few verses. And so grace yourself, prepare yourself, grace me, because I'm going to be reading out loud. And so I'm going to be reading in Genesis 26, verses 1 through 11. And I'm really excited for this message. And so grab a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, it's okay, it'll be on the screen, but I think there's just something powerful about reading the Word of God for yourself, because with everything being digital, you want to be able to double check us, fact check us, right? So in Genesis 26, verse 1, a severe famine now struck the land, as had happened before in Abraham's time. So Isaac moved to Gerar, where Abimelech, king of the Philistines, lived. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt, but do as I tell you." Right? All the parents here that are watching, right? You just say to yourself and your children, if you just listen to what I tell you, things will go well for you. Right? All the parents say, amen. Verse 3, it says, "Live here as foreigner in the land, and I will be with you and bless you. I hereby confirm that I will give all the lands to you and your descendants, just as I promised Abraham, your father. I will cause your descendants to become as numerous as the stars of the sky, and I will give them all these lands, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. I will do this because Abraham listened to me and obeyed all my commandments. My requirements, decrees, and instructions." Isn't that just a blessing, right? That you and I sit in a constant position and posture of blessing because of a decision that someone made before you and I were ever thought about. Abraham's decision to listen and to obey God became our blessing for today. That's why we receive him as our father of faith, because of the decision he made in faith for you and I. I am so blessed that I sit in the seat of blessing because of the decision that Abraham made before I was ever thought about. It says in verse 6, it says, "So Isaac stayed in Gerar. When the men who lived there asked Isaac about his wife Rebekah, he said, 'She is my sister.' He was afraid to say, 'She is my wife.' He thought they may kill him to get to her because she was so beautiful." Amen. But sometime later, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of his window and saw Isaac caressing Rebekah. Uh-oh. Doesn't sound like a sister to me. Right? Immediately, Abimelech called for Isaac and exclaimed, "She is obviously your wife. Why did you say she is my sister?" "Because I was afraid someone would kill me to get to her from me," Isaac replied. "How could you do this to us?" Abimelech exclaimed, "One of my people might easily have taken your wife and slept with her, and you would have made us guilty of great sin." Then Abimelech issued a public proclamation, "Anyone who touches this man or his wife will be put to death." Let me pray real quick for our word, for our time together. Father God, I pray that you would use these words to transform our life. I believe this to be true. I believe, God, that your word requires or demands a response from my life. When I hear the word of God, it requires something from me. And so today, God, I pray you would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive what it is that you have prepared for us. There's a great work that's prepared for me, that's prepared for my friends. And I'm so excited, God, that we get the opportunity to hear from your word and what you desire to tell your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so there are a few things that I want to talk to you about today. The first point is I really want to talk about this idea of the learned behavior of sin. Second thing is I want to talk about is the learned mindset of freedom. And I want to talk about the learned behavior of victory. You know, all throughout scripture and the narrative of the Bible, we hear that the coming of Jesus became the redemption for humanity. It became the means of God not just redeeming, but God relieving men from their sinful behavior. So Jesus' life, death, and resurrection gave us access to the Father. And instead of living out of our sinful nature, we have through Jesus Christ, we have through the Holy Spirit, a better means of living our life. But here's the reality. As all of us, whether or not we know it, have been handed a disposition. What do I mean by that? I mean that all of us are reaping the benefits or the destruction or the curse of the decisions that were made before we ever showed up. What's interesting about this particular passage is we see Isaac's learned behavior, right? He's doing the same thing. He's modeling the same lie that his father had also told to the king of that time. And what's crazy is Isaac wasn't even around. Right? Have you, maybe you found this in your own life where you find yourself doing things, you find yourself modeling certain behaviors that your mom did, that your auntie did. These are learned behaviors or maladaptive behaviors. And why I believe this conversation is critical for you and I is because there is a pattern or a lifestyle that oftentimes can perpetuate or hijack our mindset of freedom and our behavior of victory because of the behaviors that we picked up in our flesh. I have a friend and a lot of the work that I do with our youth and with our community is really wrapped up around informed trauma care. And I will never forget talking to a counselor about just being trained and informed on how to help move our community members forward that are navigating trauma, navigating anxiety, depression, mental health. And I'll never forget a counselor friend telling me this. He says, most of our negative behaviors or our negative outcomes in our behaviors that are created in our behaviors, he says, oftentimes those are not associated or related to our mental health. I said, well, tell me about that. I said, well, this is what happens. Someone has a traumatic experience. Someone experiences a deep pain. Someone goes through loss. We experience life. And what happens is in the midst of that thing that we're walking through, that we're experiencing, loss, failure, a loss of a job, a loss of a friend, a pandemic, hello, COVID-19, civil unrest, is what happens is we pick up certain behaviors so that when we get through those painful moments, when we get through those loss, when we get on the other end and we're experiencing the abundance of life that Jesus has for us, some of us take those behaviors that we picked up on. Some of us walk into the promised land. Does this sound familiar? Some of us walk into the promised land with the same slave-like behaviors, with the same bondage mindset that we had while we were operating outside of the promise that God had for us. And I thought this was so profound. I'll give you an example. My son, I have growing boys, right? 7 and 4 years old. And if you see my boys, if you know my boys, they are big, right? My 7-year-old weighs 115 pounds. He is in the 99 percentile in every single category. His head, his feet, his hands, like everything is massive on this man, and he keeps growing, right? And he keeps eating, and they keep costing us money, right? All the parents know exactly what I'm talking about. But my son had these pair of shoes that he loved dearly. He would wear them to sleep if we allowed him to. And he had wore these shoes so much. Now, they were spring shoes. They were not fall or winter shoes. And so he had developed holes in the shoes. His feet were talking. There's an old school, like MC Hammer cartoon where the feet would start talking, right? So the reality is my son fell in love with these shoes. And so being a good father that I am, I went and bought him a new pair of shoes, right? That's kind of a normal response. Your son has holes in his shoe. You should buy him new shoes. And so I buy him this new pair of shoes, and you would have thought that this was the oddest thing in the world. All right, I walk in, I'm thinking my son is going to love me and proclaim me to be the greatest dad of all time because I bought him a new pair of shoes. And do you know that he was distraught? He was frustrated, and he was confused and even perplexed that I would require him to get rid of the shoes that he had grown to love. He had spent so much time in these shoes. He had memories. He had experiences. He had met new friends in these shoes. But I was like, son, although these shoes have been great for you, they cannot go into your future. There's a few things going on. One, you're growing, so you will outgrow those shoes. Two, those shoes have holes in them, son, so you can no longer wear them. And my son had a moment. He had a moment, right? Like where he was like just very angry and frustrated with me. And he's like, "Yo, dad, you're not my friend right now." But I think that analogy is so true about our life. And when I'm talking about the behaviors, the learned behaviors of sin, I'm not just talking about the sinful behaviors that come up in life. I am talking about you and I living the decision that Adam and Eve made. We live in a sinful world. And because you and I live in a sinful world, there are things that we experience because of their lack of trust or lack of faith in Jesus and their decision birth. The sinful world that we live in. And so instead of living out of the nature, the eternity that God had planned for our lives, we now experience things like sickness, which was never God's plan. We experience loss and death. Those things were never a part of God's plan. Romans 14:23 says that the absence of faith is sin. So we live in a sinful world. So I'm not just talking about, you know, like you going to punch someone or you giving someone the middle finger while you're driving, right? Road rage. I'm talking the fact that we live in a sinful world. And because we live in a sinful world, we have to be careful and mindful that sometimes the behaviors that we learn in this sinful world can hijack the mindset that God has designed for us to have as followers of Jesus, as people of Christ, as people who are called to bring forth and declare the kingdom of God in our lives, in our family, in our community, that sometimes these behaviors can hijack. My wife was telling me this story that she said she had never drank coffee. So she went an entire life without drinking coffee. And then something traumatic happened in her life, and she started picking up coffee. And she was sharing with me recently how she saw that the decision that she made in her trauma became, even when she had gotten through and healed from the traumatic experience and moment that she was in, that the behavior continued. And so she's like, now I cannot live a moment
without coffee. Somebody on the other line is saying amen, right? You're like, yes, that is me. I cannot do a moment without coffee. That is my wife. You guys can go drink coffee together and have a bunch of fun, right? Coffee is the centerpiece of her life. But I think sometimes that there are other things that we pick up along the way. I'll share a personal experience. 7 years ago, my mom passed away, 6 days after my birthday. And being in full-time ministry, I am grateful that I had a position where it forced me to pray with people. It forced me to engage in the work that God had ordained and called me to. But I have to be honest with you. As I struggled for a very, very long time praying with God by myself. And what's crazy is 7 years later, if you ask me, if you call me and say, hey, let's pray together for 5 hours. Now, if I have the time and the capacity, let's go, right? Let's go. I got capacity. Let's do it. But if you were to ask me to pray for 5 minutes by myself, I would struggle. And I found myself this week in preparing for this message. Where did that come? Where'd that come from? And I realized in the middle of my pain, in the middle of my tragedy, in the middle of my trial, I stopped doing the little things in my prayer life. There was something that happened where I stopped. I could not even open my mouth. And so guess what? I didn't try. So that became a learned behavior. Psychologists say this, that 92 to 96% of our behavior is determined by this thing. By our subconscious mind is what they say. So that means the decisions that we make in our mind, right? Like anybody ever, like New Year's resolution, and you say, you know what, I'm going to be healthy this year. I'm gonna lose my 20 pounds, I'm talking about myself, 17 pounds, and I'm gonna do this, X, Y, Z, I'm gonna do that. And what happens is we make a conscious decision, but we don't make a subconscious decision in here. And so when our alarm clock goes off at 5:30 in the morning for you to go work out, you hit it about 29 times, and when someone offers you a donut, I'm speaking about myself, or cookies or cake, you say, I probably shouldn't do that. But in your mind, you haven't made a decision. You haven't developed the mindset of freedom from the things that pack on weight, right? And you find yourself falling back into those bad behaviors. The same thing is true about our faith, friends. That there are decisions that you and I have to make. We have to realize that as Revelations 12:11 says this, that we overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, right? We could just stop right there. Like we overcame because of the work that Jesus did on the cross for you and I. But it doesn't stop there. Friends, it continues and it says, we overcame by the blood of the Lamb, but we overcame by the word of our testimony. Do you know that Jesus himself, right now I'm talking about the mindset, that Jesus set the captives free. That's why when the scripture says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. So you've been set free. You've been set free. But what happens is God has set us free, but we go back to the comfort of the experiences and the behaviors, and we're like the Israelites that are going into the promised land, and we're like, it would be better for us to turn back around and die. Really, Egypt's better than the promised land? But we see the burden, and we see the responsibility, and the energy, and we have to realize as followers of Jesus, our mind is the battle. This is where the battle is, my friend. That's why Romans 12:2 tells us to renew our mind. That you and I know what God has designed for our life. You know what's in you when we do this. I think sometimes we need to cleanse our palate, our mental palate. I'm not sure if you've ever done this, but I used to love going and smelling perfume. Don't judge me. I hope I wasn't getting high, but I just love smelling perfume, right? And I guess our cologne. Sorry. Cologne, see how I switched that? Cologne. And I noticed something as I got older, that you're supposed to smell coffee in between the next cologne that you smell because it cleanses your palate. And this is why the Word of God, this is why small groups, this is why prayer, this is why quiet time with the Lord, this is why having brothers and sisters that can encompass you and envelop you in prayer are consequential. This is why you are not designed to do life alone, because those things help us clear our mental palate so that you and I can walk in the behaviors and the mindset of freedom. Here's my last point. And I want to break down two words. And one is salvation. Now, there are two separate meanings in the gospel that define salvation. You and I, as followers of Jesus, as the new church, when we read the word salvation in the New Testament, we are speaking of the free gift that was offered through us through the belief, by believing in Jesus' sacrifice. So you and I are held perpetually and eternally because of the decision Jesus made for you and I. We walk in our forgiveness that was not earned by ourselves or our good deeds. But there's also a second meaning of salvation. In the Old Testament, we see the word salvation meaning this, that the best word would be described as deliverance. And why do I believe this is consequential? And I want to help give you something practical for those that are listening. Because if our mindset creates our behaviors, then we need to be mindful of this. And I want to use this analogy as I talk about deliverance. There have been a few times that everybody's buying things online, right? So I'm buying things online, I buy things on Amazon, and I have an expectation that when I buy something, that not only will I receive the package or the item that I bought, the item that I paid for, but I will receive it as I paid for it. So I want the finished product. And I think the same thing is true about our life. I believe that oftentimes we accept the New Testament idea of the free gift that God has given us. But I think sometimes we forget the word salvation or deliverance is a process that you and I have to walk in and engage in every single day. Righteousness doesn't just happen, or holiness or sanctification doesn't just happen because I opened my Bible today. It doesn't just happen. Fruitfulness in my life doesn't just happen because I showed up to church. The fruits of the Spirit just don't automatically pull up because I hope and pray that they do. It requires work. Think about Jesus talked a lot about what? Farming. And think about this. If you had an apple seed, and if I told you that apple seed would change the world, you wouldn't think that just because you put it in the ground that all of a sudden fruit would show up in a few years. No, a farmer would tell you you're out of your mind. It requires intentionality. The seed of Jesus, the seed of God became flesh. John 1:1, it became flesh. But how many of us know that we celebrate the life of Jesus? We celebrate the birth of Jesus, but we celebrate the life because he kept living. The baby was just the shadow of the promise, but there was still more living to do. Some of us need to remind ourselves, just keep living. But here's the analogy, right? I want to get back to this, right, before I close out. When you think about that package that you buy, that you and I may buy online, I remember one time I bought a package and it was being shipped from California. And I got a tracking number and I start tracking my package. And I found out that my package was like in St. Louis. I'm like, how in the world does that work? Why is it in Wyoming now and Colorado and St. Louis and in Montana? Like, right? it felt like it was off track. But eventually, that product has to. Why? Because I paid for it. It has to show up at my door, at my doorstep. And I think, my friends, if I can encourage you with this, when I'm talking about the behaviors of victory, is I think just like that package is a good work that God started in you, He's faithful to complete. And just like that package, you and I cannot let anything keep us from getting to our Jesus, getting to our Savior, getting in His presence, learning His way, His truth in His life. Because remember, they're not always synonymous. Sometimes the way that Jesus would handle things is the antithesis of how I would handle them. So that means life has a way of throwing you a curveball. Life has a way of punching you in the nose, as Mike Tyson would say. But we have to be reminded that just like that package may get off course, is it must get to its destination. I believe sometimes mentally we allow the world, we allow pandemics to keep us from what we know to be true, and that is Jesus. So can I pray for you? I want to pray for you that wherever you are, for what our listeners, that the decisions that were made before you, some of us are sitting in the trauma that you inherited. You saw the way that your parents acted. You saw abuse. You saw violence, drugs, alcohol use. Some of us are sitting and something that you did not create. For example, I was molested at a young age. And so I didn't ask to be molested. So I was sitting in a decision that someone made, someone imposed a decision on me, right? Something traumatic that happened. And although life happens, and I by no means want to communicate that those things are God-ordained. We live in a sinful world, my friends. But I want to encourage you that no matter what your thing may be, that we cannot allow those things to define the freedom and the blessing that God has for our lives. My friends, Jesus has something so much more than what you're experiencing today. He has freedom. And I am convinced that you are more than a conqueror. I know life has told you that you are a victim, but you are not a victim, you are a victor. My friends, do not allow anything to keep you from your Jesus. I've learned through trauma. I've learned through pain and trial. What Paul was saying, think of these things. Whatever's noble, whatever's trustworthy. I used to read that and be like, what in the world is he talking about? Until life punches you in the nose. And everything you know to be true is challenged. I need to find an anchor point. Is Jesus your anchor? Here's my prayer. I'm going to pray that for my listener. Maybe you need to start there. Maybe that's the starting point. You need to make Jesus your anchor. Believe that the work that he's done on your behalf. That's the starting place. It's the seed. The seed that changes the world. But you have to also plant it. So let's just start right there. Right where you are, I'm going to pray for you. Father God, I pray for my friend that is on the other side of the screen. Maybe they've had doubts, their life circumstances. They've maybe even been in church their entire life, but they've never made a decision in their mind to follow you. When we say Lord, it's not just cute and attractive words. The word literally means in its original language that you own us. And so God, I am praying for my friends that they would give you the authority over their life, to redeem and to set them free. And I pray, God, for my friends that are also listening, that maybe there are those that need to make decisions about accepting Jesus, but maybe there are friends that have been engaging with God's church and God's people, but they haven't been engaging in His kingdom. God, the same way that apple seeds were designed to be grown in community, I pray the same thing would be true about our life. So maybe there's someone listening and they've made a decision to say yes to Jesus. They've accepted your gift of salvation, but they need to walk out the gift that you've given them, or work out, as Philippians tells us, to work out our salvation. So Lord, my prayer is for my friends, for the friends that need to say yes. I just pray right now, God, that they would lift their hands up, or whatever they need to do. They need to invite you in and believe, God, that you are who you say you are, that they didn't need to find you, you already found them. And I pray, God, for my friends that have said yes, but the decision that they need to walk in their victory is, God, communing with brothers and sisters. God, I thank you so much for your word and what you've done and what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you, Pastor Antonio. What a great message. Great time to just reflect on that this morning. As always, we want to take a moment and pray for us as a community, and pray and over some of your prayer requests that we've received over this week. And we've received a lot this week. We have prayers ranging from family issues, whether that's a marriage or parents and children. We have quite a few people, it seems, that are struggling with friends or family, struggling with COVID. We have those that are dealing with loss of jobs and opportunities. And a big theme that we're seeing this week is a lot of people feeling sad and lonely. And so I want to lift those things up. I also want to take a moment and pray for Tacoma in general. You know, there was an event that happened in downtown last night that we want to pray for those that were hurt, and pray for the situation, for healing and restoration to take place there. So if you would just join with me in prayer as we lift up these things to Jesus. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you are the God that answers prayers. We thank you that you are a God of restoration. You are a God of healing. You are a God that is big enough to part the Red Sea, and you're big enough to answer our prayers. I pray today over our city, over Tacoma, that you would have restoration and healing, and protect those that have been hurt by the events that took place last night. I pray for those of us in our community that are struggling with loneliness and sadness. Pray for our relationships, whether it's our parents or our kids. I pray for those with opportunities that are maybe lost, or jobs. I pray that you would bless us with those things. And also, I pray for those of us that are just struggling with sickness, whether it's COVID or anything else, cancer. I pray that you would just heal bodies and restore people. We thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. As promised, we do have an announcement. So I want to introduce my friend to you, Pastor Tyler.
Hello, Discovery. It's Pastor Tyler. Hey, I'm in downtown Puyallup, down here at the fairgrounds. And I just wanted to share with you what the Lord is doing in Puyallup. There's a team that has been preparing, and you know that we've been meeting in the pop-up. We've been in prayer and seeking the Lord about how we could participate in the multiplying mosaic movement that is Discovery. And we see that the Lord has been leading us in hospitality and creating gospel space for those to join in. And one of the main places that we've seen a lot of ministry happening is at our house, by opening our table and sharing a meal with those that are hungry and sharing the gospel as we move forth. We're helping other people do that at their tables too. And you can see right behind you, the food is free table. It's been a really neat hub of community where we've met neighbors, and we've been able to meet dozens of our neighbors this way, and to be able to help with those that have, you know, food needs. We've had people that stop by and, hey, I need an onion, or I need some cheese, or some meat. We've, you know, some people that have had needed it. And this has been a frequent new community spot, and it wasn't what we had expected, but isn't that how the Lord works sometimes? I'm coming to you live from 112th and 86th, right here by the Fruitland Grange, which you can see right back here. I'm so excited about what the Lord's doing in through the group that's here. We have 32 people that have committed to go forth with us in mission and to start a new work, a church plant of Discovery Community Church. That multiply and mosaic movement in action is happening right here. And so by April 4th, we are prayerfully preparing to launch into a new work and a new name. It's in large part because of Discovery and the prayer support and the encouragement and people that have been prepared for mission to follow the lead of Jesus. And I would hope that you'd like to join us. We meet Sundays at 10. We have a commitment Sunday coming up here on the 31st. We'd love to see you there. If you want to hear more about this vision and you want to participate, we'd love to talk with you, invite you. The team is ready for you, and we'd love to see you.
Man, thank you, Tyler. I'm so excited for him and our Puyallup team. We should just be covering them with prayer as they kind of launch into this new endeavor. What a blessing that we have to be a part of it. As always, go throughout your week. I pray that you have a great week and that you're blessed by today. And just we look forward to seeing you next week. Have a good one.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows us.